You're listening to Soul Survivors, ESL Teaching and Expat Life in Seoul, Korea.
Podcasting from an undisclosed Starbucks somewhere in Seoul, it's Seoul Survivors, your weekly source on teaching ESL and living in Seoul. I'm your host, Carl, and with me today are my co-hosts, John and Pam. John?
Hi, how are you today?
And Pam?
Howdy.
Yeah, welcome back, Pam. This is podcast number two for Pam.
Very excited.
Yeah, I guess we've done 11 podcasts we've done so far.
Oh my God, are we that high? More than double digits and everything?
Yeah. I think we're going to take a little break in December because I'm going back to Canada for 2 weeks. And then I'm actually going the first 2 weeks and then coming back for Christmas because, you know,
As a Christmas gift to us.
I love it here so much. So, just traveling would be a real nightmare the 2 weeks over Christmas. I thought, what the heck. Yeah. Maybe our podcasting will also be spotty during the whole Christmas run-up and stuff like that. Yeah. And Pam, this will be your first Christmas away from your family?
Yeah, first time.
How do you think you'll handle it?
I don't think I'll be okay. No. They're going to get cool stuff from Korea. I'm sure they won't miss me at all.
Are you going to mail them stuff?
Yeah. I went shopping today for my sister and spent way too much money, but there's all this cool Korean stuff everywhere. Yeah. She'll be thrilled.
Yeah. I know. I'm looking for little things to bring home, and I got I got my mother and sister. I got them Prada and Gucci socks.
Oh, I bet they were the real thing.
Yeah, well, a dollar from a table in a subway station.
That's where you get the real thing.
That spells quality.
Exactly. I mean, you eliminate the overhead of the fancy store and the women in nice little suits and stuff like that, and just a dollar.
I went to the free market in Hongdae where they have the homemade craft stuff.
Oh, right. Cool. Okay.
You know, the local painters and crafters and stuff like that, and want to support the local artists and stuff.
Okay. Yeah. When were you there? Because I was there on Saturday.
I was there this morning.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of funky. The only problem is for Christmas shopping for people back at home, it's like, it doesn't really say to me Korea or, I'm living in Asia or something.
Yeah. Well, I think there might be one or two more things on the list, like going into a stationery store and getting a chopstick set or something like that. That's really like everyday Korean.
John, are you going to send anything back home?
No.
No, okay.
I'm 45 years old. We're okay. My family and I are okay with calling each other on Christmas.
Really? Wow. Christmas. I still get, Christmas presents from my mother and father and birthday money and stuff like that.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, I don't know. All right. It's getting have you noticed it's getting cold? Well, not only is it getting cold, it's getting dry. Anyone having a problem with dryness?
My lips this week demanded that I buy some Nivea lip balm.
All right. How much did you pay for one of those?
I don't really remember, but I just assumed that it was going to be hideously expensive and didn't look.
Pam, have you bought any lotion?
Yeah, totally bought some lotion. It's totally dry. I put it on, it feels like nothing ever happened. Then I put some more on, and it feels like nothing ever happened. Then I got to put on three layers.
Have you noticed the price of lotion's kind of high here?
Definitely.
Yeah.
A lot of them are American brands, too, and I assume that's why.
Yeah, you got your Nivea and your...
totally.
I don't know. What are some other brands? Lotion.
I don't know. Mine's Nivea, so don't ask for more. Can't think of
even baby powder is really expensive here. It's $7 for a bottle of
one of the cheapest elements on the planet.
Totally.
That's pretty good.
I use it in summertime to kind of keep the sweat down.
I know. When I first got here and tried to buy some lotion, it was just way too cheap, you know. I was considering rubbing cooking oil on or something. But luckily it was the summer.
Yeah, even baby oil is kind of expensive.
Yeah.
Man. All right. You know, but one of the things I always recommend, if you have a computer during winter, you really become a big ball of static here. When you're plugging in your USB things, so maybe like your USB mouse or your webcam or whatever, watch the static electricity, because, you know, most computers are well grounded, you know, like resist static electricity, except the direct route into your computer is through your USB port, and that can fry your computer, which I did. Yeah, last winter I fried this laptop here, and luckily it was still under warranty, so they just fixed it for free or whatever. That's kind of a interesting thing about Korea is a lot of times if things are just under warranty, they don't. You know, you may have just run it over with a car, and they're like, "Oh, it's under warranty. We'll fix it for free." There's not this kind of, you know, well, you broke it, so you'll have to pay for it, even though it's under warranty. So, yeah, that's okay.
So the warranties here are sort of idiot-proof.
I think so. So unconditional warranty sort of concept.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. And our snack of the week is choco pie. And, you know, Pam, you were just about to eat the choco pie when I kind of, like, shouted at you, like...
Yeah, don't dig into the pie.
Yeah, we gotta, yeah.
Don't start with the pie yet.
Go ahead, Johnny.
Okay.
Yummy.
Yeah.
Kind of like a graham crackery crust.
Yeah, these are actually...
mellowy center, chocolate covered.
These are Orion. Orion choco pies. I think the two big manufacturers of choco pies are Orion and Lotte, which Lotte just makes everything. Yeah, everything. So, But the reason I did choco pies, and these are not uncommon in North America. What do they call them in America, choco pies?
I think moon pies, but I think moon pies might not be chocolate covered.
They're kind of like a s'more turned inside out, but not like the chocolate's on the outside, but the rest is...
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. In Canada, we call them wagon wheels.
Okay.
Yeah. But I call it the holy trinity of Korean snacking, which we've now completed. So we've done banana milk.
Right.
And we did matdongsan, which was... Well, how did you describe matdongsan, John?
Kind of a cross between Cracker Jacks and a pretzel.
Right, yes, matdongsan. And now we've done choco pies. Kind of, if you go back all the way to the early 70s when sort of manufacturing met snacking, these are the three snacks that sort of got their big start and were very popular from the 70s. And there's some kind of... There's some, not an award, maybe it is a government award, where if you sell so much, like a billion won a year in product, then you're given this award. So banana milk matdongsan and choco pies, Orion choco pies, have all attained this, you know, this holy grail of...
What is the award, like a plaque you hang on the wall, or...?
Some Lucite plaque, I'm sure, you know.
Nice, yeah, well, that's worth striving for.
Yeah, have you ever worked in the software industry? It's like, what your company is probably filled with a wall full of Lucite plaques for, you know, best booth or, you know, things like that.
Military has something similar.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was kind of hoping it would be like a crown made out of pretzels or cookies or something for the snacking industry, you know?
Yeah. All right.
A pepito scepter.
Yeah, wow. Totally.
And not quite snack of the week, but I did bring you these things, Pam, because you've only ever experienced endless summer.
Right.
Southern California occasionally gets frost on your windshields and on the grass in February for a day or two.
Yeah. Yep.
Was it? You have like not wind chill factors, but like breeze chill factors, or Pam, are you aware of a thing called wind chill?
Yes, I am.
Okay, all right, good.
I may have lived in Southern California, but it's not a bubble. We actually get an education there and stuff.
All right. You've done your research.
Yeah.
Okay, good. But what these things are, they're called hand stoves, and they're really good for winter. Mm-hmm. That was the other funny thing I thought you were saying last week, because you understood the theoretical nature of winter, but you didn't quite understand that, you know, your extremities get really cold, mm-hmm. and so you have to have gloves and a cap and stuff like that. And one good way to keep your extremities, your hands, warm in winter are these little hand stoves. So what they are is they're like a little sort of plastic bag of clear liquid, and there's a metal disc in the middle of the liquid. And go ahead, snap, and then you snap the disc. Snap. Sometimes you really got to sort of snap the disc a lot.
No.
To get these things going.
Okay, I got it, yeah.
Did you got it going?
Yeah. Didn't make a snap sound, but it all feels right. Warm.
Oh, is it getting connected?
Yeah.
There we go. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah. So what's happening is the liquid is now becoming like a crystal, and then it's producing heat.
Wow.
It's yeah. Really That's warm. Neat. Yeah.
Mine's not
kind of like
working
those ice
so well.
Packs oh. when you hurt yourself.
Oh,
only,
there we go.
Only warm.
Yeah. So,
that is the coolest thing.
That feels
thing.
Really nice.
Yeah. And what's cool is, one, those things are really cheap. You can get them for like about $1 or 50 cents.
Uh-huh.
And they're reusable.
Really?
Yeah, they're reusable. Well, I guess the simple explanation is they're magical.
They're magic.
They're magic, yeah.
Okay.
The complicated explanation, it's called an exothermic reaction.
Uh-huh.
So what is in those bags is like a really concentrated salt solution.
Uh-huh.
So I think it's salt. And then the little metal disc, when you snap the little metal disc, although you can't see it, it releases little bits of metal into the solution.
Mm-hmm.
And then the metal provides a template for the dissolved crystals to form their crystal structure. And then
mm-hmm.
and as they form the crystal structure, exothermic, they release their heat in a chemical reaction. So they'll stay warm for about at least 15-20 minutes, which, you know, you're a walk from your apartment to a subway station. So they're quite good for sort of keeping your hands warm.
Yeah, they're definitely warm.
Yeah, that's very cool.
And then when they're solid again, what you do is just throw them in boiling water. And like 10 minutes in boiling water, and then it melts the crystals back down again, and then they're reusable.
Well, that's a great deal.
I don't know. I like the magic explanation better.
Oh, yeah.
By throwing it into the boiling water, you are putting the heat back into it.
Basically,
you know.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I like that magic thing better.
Yeah. All right. So there's little elves in here.
I actually plan on using exothermia to impress people this week.
Exothermia.
So I'm glad,
oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm glad you... Glad you told me about that.
Oh, wow. Changing the topic from, you know, magic elves creating heat, you broke your toe, Pam?
Yeah, it's nothing glamorous. I just stubbed it in the bathroom. It's kind of a prophecy, though, because everyone who lives in my apartment gets a broken toe or
oh, really?
Severely injured toe. And
okay.
Yeah, my roommates were moving, and I think it was... It kind of made them sad that nothing had happened to any of my toes, so this is kind of... It's good. It's good okay. that right before they left, they got to see it happen to me.
That's very considerate
yeah,
of you.
Yeah, definitely.
Which toe did you break?
My littlest toe on my left foot.
Okay. Oh, your baby toe.
My baby toe.
All right. Okay. Did you go to the doctor?
No, I didn't want to pay for the emergency room when it's not a real emergency.
Okay.
Yeah, I've broken toes a few times and have been always ever been told that, yes, your toe sure is broken.
Yeah,
it'll get better
exactly.
someday.
I've taped it to the other toe and I try not to hit it with a hammer. And
how's that working out for you?
Oh, it's been tempting, but okay. I can control myself.
Okay, good.
Wow. I did follow up on Pepero Day, John, because we had our little Pepero show last week,
right?
And you know, I was so hoping to get your reaction because I had been, you know, talking to you about Pepero Day for weeks. And
well, I mean, I did see them on display in the stores,
okay.
but I still wasn't sure what it was all about. And apparently, all of my darling students who were supposed to give me peperos hadn't been told that they were supposed to give me peperos and didn't. I still don't even know what it is. What is it? Talk to me about it.
Well, it's a long, round biscuit dipped in chocolate.
Well, you can't get much better than that.
No,
they're pretty much perfect.
Oh. I feel cheated.
You should be.
Yeah, well, yeah. My students gave me like a million billion Pepero.
Really?
Wow.
Man.
They were probably getting them off of my students who didn't give me any.
You know, the only Pepero I got was from the undead.
From the undead?
Yeah, from the undead. If you actually go to our little blog, on Pepero Day, some mall they were had a promotion for that Grudge movie about this woman ghost or something. And so they had all these women dressed as the Grudge ghost, and they were like silently handing out Pepero. So that's what I got the Pepero from.
All right.
Not my children. But I mean, sometimes my children are kind of the undead, you know. By Friday night, they're, it's yeah. Like, yeah, you couldn't really tell them apart from zombies.
Mine are more like werewolves on Friday night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they like to howl and jump on things.
Yeah, and mine, of course, are generally ending up their week at the English Village, so they're amped and hyped, and you can't walk from one end of the campus to the other without having 400 children asking you for your autograph. And
wow.
Yeah, it's like you feel like a movie star. It's quite fun.
That's cool.
All right, and our main topic, I guess it's a couple topics, mostly just involving money. One, how much money should you bring to Korea just to sort of pad yourself until you get your first paycheck? What they do in Korea is you're usually paid once a month. North America, usually they pay you like on the 15th and the 30th or something like that. Usually there's two pay periods, but Korea, it's just paid once a month. And so you're basically going to work a month, and then you're going to get paid. So you're definitely going to need some cash. And John,
whatever, many schools will give you a little settling in allowance, but that generally is not going to be enough.
Yeah. Your schools may give you like an advance in your pay if you're really, really super starving student. How much cash did you bring, John?
I'm sorry?
I said, how much cash did you bring?
I brought $400 with me, and I got a $200 settling in allowance.
Okay.
And that was enough.
All right.
Especially since meals were provided.
Okay. Oh, well, that's true, yeah. A pen?
I brought $500.
Okay.
And it definitely didn't end up being enough because I didn't get paid until 6 weeks later.
Wow, okay.
So I had to take out a $300 cash advance.
Ooh, on your credit card?
No, with the school.
Oh, okay, okay.
They actually, it's kind of a common courtesy that they do the new people moving in because
right,
they know that they're not going to have a lot of money. And
right.
So it just gets taken out of your next paycheck, which, I mean, it was no big deal at all.
Right, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, considering usually you can save about, say, like $1,000 a month. So, you know, so getting $300 is, you're not going to be playing a horrible game of catch up for the next, you know, next few pay periods or something like that. Yeah. So 500 plus
$300,000 won.
Okay.
So
800 to cover you for 6 weeks.
800 ended up being good
for
you
for
6 weeks.
Yeah.
So yeah. So about between 500 and 1,000 is usually a good.
Yeah.
500's on the low end. 1,000 is probably
overkill.
Yeah, probably overkill. Well, one thing good too is well, bring it in cash or traveler's checks or something. Cash, I guess, you know, American dollars or Canadian dollars. And get it cashed here. That's, you'll get a better exchange rate.
Definitely.
Yeah. Especially in America, if you're like buying Korean won at most banks in America, you know, they're like, you want to buy what? You know?
Right. That was a total mistake I made. I really regret buying the one in America.
Yeah. They'll usually not give you such a good rate because they don't want to deal with the strange currency, you know?
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. But Korea definitely wants the American dollars, you know? So, as most countries want the American dollars. And so they'll give you a much better rate. I mean, you know, sometimes if it's like small amounts, you know, might make a difference between, you know, $10 or $20 or something like that. But, yeah, but definitely bring your money here. And my advice is at the end of sort of, you know, your period, when you actually get your pay, keep keep some of that money in just cash and, you know, hide it someplace in your apartment because it's a good, it's good emergency money. Sometimes the Korean banks will, they'll shut down their ATMs over the holidays, like Chuseok, which can be almost a week-long holiday depending on how it falls. They'll just shut down their whole ATM system for most of the week. And if you and of course they'll warn their customers, but they'll warn them in Korean.
Right.
So, you know, you may just mysteriously find yourself unable to access your ATM. So if you have sort of some cash on hand, you know, you can go to a bank or you could go to a hotel and get exchange. So
that actually happened to me last night. It was horrible.
Oh, really? What happened?
Yeah, wobbling around on my broken toe trying to find an ATM so I could get a cab ride home.
Oh, yes. Late at night, right.
Yeah, it took about 6 machines before I found one that worked.
Right. Or hide English menus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, because most of the banks shut down their ATMs, like, after 10 p.m., and then there's convenience stores that will have ATMs, but they're, a lot of times, they're, like, not bank ATMs, they're the you know, extra service charge ATMs, but then they're not in English, those ATMs, so, yeah.
Even with those, a lot of them weren't working. I had no idea why, because it had never happened to me before, and I probably never will find out.
About what time was it?
It was about 11:45 at night.
I have noticed there seems, I haven't put it to an experiment to test out my theory, but it seems as though there's about an hour most nights where they become unavailable to you.
Oh, they just shut down the system for an hour, maintenance or something.
Very annoying.
Yeah. Other thing I noticed is on Sundays you can't get your bank balance updated on your bank book. I don't know why, but yeah. But it talks about emergency funds. So it's good to keep some cash on hand, just, you know, in your local currency, your American or Canadian currency. This way, you're not going to spend it, right? You're not going to be like, oh, I need 20 bucks. So instead of going to the ATM, I got 20 bucks under my bed. But if it's in American or Canadian, it's a pain in the ass to spend, so you're not going to touch it. And you're only going to touch it for an emergency. The other thing, too, is... And not to scare people, but sometimes the job promise is not the job you get. And it's good to have an escape plan. It's good to have some funds available. Not necessarily in cash, but, on your credit card or somehow accessible so you can buy a plane to get home.
Yeah. Should one suddenly need to do that?
Yeah, that's always good. So you're not kind of a slave to this horrible Hagwon boss until you get a couple paydays and then you can go home.
Right.
You've never felt like that, Pam?
No.
No. Okay.
I don't have these funds you speak of, but
no, okay.
It's probably a good idea to think about it.
So you're just living on the edge, aren't you?
Well, that's my style.
Absolutely. But, I think it's rare. I don't think it's that often that you get into a really bad situation, but you never know. But, but they have a term for that. They call it a midnight run, where, I don't know if necessarily people do it at midnight, but, they do slip out and don't tell their boss. The next day the boss is like,
where's our teacher?
Yeah, where's our foreigner? And then they go to the apartment and it's gone. Everything's gone. Yeah, so the midnight run.
No, I don't have anything like an actual plan in place, but I do have a bank account.
Yeah, it's good to have some sort of padding or something. The other thing, too, is if you do get into a bad situation and you want out of your contract, your contract is, or your visa is with your school. Your visa... It is not transferable unless your boss lets you out of your contract. So to get out of your contract, you need a thing called a letter of release. And that's purely at the pleasure of your boss. So if you are really at odds with your boss, he doesn't have to give you the letter of release, and then there's no way to get out of your visa. And you can't get another job at another school.
At least until that visa has run its course.
Yeah.
Or so, would have run its course.
Yeah, so the balance of the year. So, yeah. So a lot of times the contracts have a clause in it about 30 days notice, or John, yours was?
Yeah, ours at the English, at the village. There's I think it's 35 days. If we do not give 35 days notice, they can charge you for this and be nasty to you and whatnot. Several people have given notice and quit and served out their whatever the time limit is.
All right.
Have gone on to work other places here in Korea. So I assume that means the village is good about letters of release.
Oh, okay, that's good. Yeah. And Pam, your school's not doing well, but you don't think you'll ever have to
I don't
bail.
Think so, and from what I've heard, that I think they would give me a letter of release if I really wanted them to.
No, yeah. And what it's kind of funny, if you actually go to the American Embassy, the Seoul American Embassy site, they have like a little paragraph about contracts in Korea, where they kind of warn people.
Yeah, I saw that before I came here.
Yeah, and they're not really even diplomatic about it either.
Yeah, they're rather for an embassy, that's rather blunt.
Yeah.
Let me just read the highlight. Culturally, this is about contracts. Culturally, the written contract is not the real contract. The unwritten oral agreement that one has with one's employer is the real contract. However, many employers will view a contract violation by a foreign worker as serious and will renege on verbal promises if they can. So, in other words, it's very one way in Korea sometimes. It's that your boss can alter the contract to his whim, but if you can't alter the contract, yes, it'll be considered, oh, yeah.
That makes more sense to me now that I've been in Korea. When I first read that, I sounded like total chaos. But when you understand the way hierarchy works
Yeah. My point is, well, one, you got to be a bit flexible, but sort of upfront make known your drop dead clauses. For example, if you don't want to teach Saturdays, you have to let them know that. No Saturdays, you know. However you want to use and abuse me, Monday to Friday, that's fine. You know, but I don't want to work Saturdays. That's my kind of my rule with my school. And they're quite aware of that. They know not to try to ever schedule me on Saturdays.
Yeah. I think there's enough competition out there with Hagwons and public schools and everything that there's no reason for someone thinking about working here to not be very demanding.
Yeah. But not so demanding that it's going to kind of come back and bite you on the butt, you know?
Yeah.
When they're like, aha, now that we have you.
Right. Yeah. Just make it clear what you need. There are definitely certain things I wouldn't accept a job unless they had them.
Yeah, absolutely. You're satisfied with your contract?
Yeah. I wouldn't have signed it otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it seems to be observed.
Yeah, my contract is observed as it's written. It really, the scary paragraph doesn't so much apply to my Hagwon. And my Hagwon has a lot of experience with Westerners and the way things work in the West, so I think they wrote it with that in mind.
Okay, yeah. But I also remember, too, that embassies are not here to enforce contracts. A lot of people sort of have this strange idea that, you know, like the hammer of Zeus, that, you know, the embassy will come down on the Korean government with the hammer of Zeus if, you know, if this one little element of their contract is violated by their school. And the embassy will just be like, no, you know.
Your embassy is not your nation's chamber of commerce.
Yeah. I mean, if you're thrown in jail, they're there to give you a list of, well, these are lawyers you can go to, and, you know, are you being abused in prison because you're an American or a Canadian? No, you're just being abused like any other prisoner in Korean prison. So that's cool. That's about all your embassy can really do for you. So, yeah, you don't have them on your side.
I hate myself and I want to die. English T-shirt finds.
Yeah, English T-shirt of the week. My school actually caught on fire Thursday night at 3 a.m. So I thought it would be good kind of to talk a bit about the Korea and sort of the crazy approaches towards fire. And by extension, I guess, smoking, too. That's an interesting topic. But nothing really actually burned down in my school. Like the hot water machine. You have a hot water machine at your school, Pam? It's kind of like, it's got like a little cold nozzle.
Yeah.
Almost, they're everywhere here, those little machines. And, you know, for your tea or your cold water. For some reason, that just burst into flames in the middle of the night. Yeah. But there must have been working smoke detectors in our school. So, you know, they caught it in time and it was put out. And I had a school to go to the next day. And but they're trying to keep it a secret from the children, because maybe it would just make them too excited, you know, like,
right.
You know, oh, the school nearly burned down, you know, every child's.
Give them ideas.
Yeah, absolutely, that too. Every child's dream.
Right.
But, man, so did you have a little fire problem, Pam?
Our school's never caught on fire, but we did notice as a group, all the teachers and I, that we never noticed any sprinklers or fire escape, and we were on the 5th and 6th floor of the building.
Okay. So
I used to teach rappelling for a Boy Scout camp, and so that's my mental backup plan.
Okay. Where is your source of rope for rappelling?
Working on it.
Clever. You know what? What you do is just get all those, every time it rains, you get those plastic umbrella condoms they give you, and then just start to make some kind of rope out of that.
Maybe. Yeah, I'm sure that can totally support my body weight, but I do know the correct knot for that.
Wow. Well, I guess maybe computer cables or, you know, local area network cable or something.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got
the shirts tied together of children.
Yeah. Make sure you use the double fisherman knot for that. A simple square knot will not work, and you will fall.
Wow. Well, we learned something new about Pam. That's amazing. I would never thought you were like, I rappel and can tie knots and things like that.
I can tie all kinds of knots.
Wow.
Really handy with a rope.
I imagine in class it would come in handy, too. If a kid gets out of line, you know? It's just
like I said, I'm still working on my source of rope, but
all right. You got. But, yeah, my school, I guess obviously we have smoke detectors, but the two things that trouble me, one is, no fire escape, but there's actually two exits, one on either side of the building, but our school is kind of divided down the middle, and there are these glass doors between sort of the elementary portion and the middle school portion, and I guess to prevent the middle schoolers from coming into the elementary portion on their break, because our break times are a bit offset, they padlock, like a chain and a padlock, the doors. So, so if there's ever like a fire and our access is cut off, you know, on the one end of the building, I'm like, well, this isn't good.
Hopefully the fire isn't on the other end of the building.
Yeah. So the only thing I think is, well, fortunately the doors are glass, and I have no problem just picking up a desk and throwing it through those glass doors, you know. But for some reason, I just suspect that, you know, if there was a fire, I don't know if my Korean coworkers would have that initiative, you know. I've heard some horror.
No, we can't break the glass. We'll just burn to death.
We don't have authorization, you know. I've literally heard horror stories about there being a fire in people's schools, you know, and they're like looking around for the boss. Well, what should we do?
We should
evacuate the school, right? But we can't find the boss. We don't have that authority to evacuate the students. But there's a fire on our floor.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's bad.
Well, we'll just move the classes to the other side where there is no fire. You know, so that bothers me.
That's bothersome.
And then the emergency lighting is flashlights. Have you seen the flashlights? The emergency flashlights?
No.
they've installed these, like, in the last couple of years, they've installed these, like, little emergency flashlights. There's no emergency lighting in buildings. Like, you know, we would have, like, where the power goes out, mm-hmm. then all the hallways, all the fire escapes have these batteries. Right. Yeah. So, and I guess eventually they realized after the Daegu subway fire that this was a problem, that, you know, that there's no emergency lighting. So kind of instead of redoing the building code and having all the emergency lighting put in, what they've done is they've put little flashlights, so many flashlights, you know, around every building. So I guess...
Just, like, sitting there for anyone to pick up when they need them?
Well, yeah. And be played with by the students, you know, which, like, every one of our classroom has emergency escape flashlight, but the kids like to play with the flashlight, you know? So most of the flashlights have no juice left.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, what good are these flashlights,
you know? Too,
yeah. Yeah, like in the event of an actual fire...
I guess you can throw those through the glass window as well.
Right. That's yeah, that's right. About the only thing that they're going to be good for.
If you can orient yourself and remember where the glass is, but not like yeah. you can see it.
My only thought is, well, everybody has a hand phone with like a little super bright liquid crystal
right.
display, so that would be the emergency lighting, you know.
My friend and I had to use that once when we went hiking and stayed out way too late and the sun went down really quickly.
Here in Korea?
Yeah, because okay. it was fall when the season was changing very rapidly. Okay. We didn't expect it to get dark so quickly. We had to use that as our flashlight to get home, and it worked. So
okay.
there
cool,
you
cool.
go.
No, I'm good. Yeah. And what was it? Ashtrays. You know, the ashtrays, this was kind of a fire safety code I think they implemented years and years ago. All of the ashtrays here have, like, wet tissue in them. Because I guess, I don't know, there was a problem with...
Ashtray fires.
Yeah. No, I don't know. Ashtray fires are just, like, wind or, you know, hot ash just burning buildings down, like... buildings are made of touch paper or something, and just you know, why are we making buildings out of cellophane, you know? I don't know, but for some reason the idea was that the wet tissue in the ashtray would you know, catch the little ashes, the burning ashes, and then extinguish them, and there's no worry about ashes burning down
Mining
buildings
and things,
yeah
right.
yeah but I don't know. But John, you are a smoker.
Well, again, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, yeah. You've noticed the problem with the
it's,
wet
well,
ashtrays.
The annoying part about it is that you can't ever set your cigarette down in the ashtray. I mean, sometimes one doesn't want necessarily to be holding one's cigarette constantly,
right.
but one must if one is out in an establishment.
You can't just sort of balance it on the...
No, because the tissues more often than not come up over,
right.
over the lip.
Okay.
So,
that's why I don't smoke. I'm too lazy to hold it all the time.
Right.
Wow. Yeah, but you're a woman, and a woman smoking in Korea is, like, just not the thing to do.
Yeah.
Was it your coworker, John? One of your women coworkers?
Yeah.
She has problems?
She regularly gets stopped on the street when she's out in the world smoking, like she thinks she has a right to do. And men will either come up to her and just... bitch her out, or some of them have actually pulled the cigarette out of her mouth or out of her hand and thrown it on the ground and then bitched her out.
Yeah, because smoking is like not
I guess
socially
it's not ladylike.
Acceptable. Yeah, not socially acceptable here by women. The men can smoke all they want anywhere, kind of, and but women aren't allowed to smoke in public. I think it has something to do with, like, you know, prostitution, or they look cheap, or, like, maybe only prostitutes smoke, or
well,
something
no.
like that.
All the prostitutes I know do smoke.
All right, well, there you go. So, yeah. So, women here smoke, but when they smoke, they sort of hide when they smoke, which is kind of funny. Like, if you go to, like, Dongdaemun or something, you know, the big... fashion towers and Dongdaemun. If you ever go into the fire escapes, there's like all these women in there just smoking, and they look like frightened rabbits whenever the door opens. They're like, is, you know, some ajushi coming in to yell at us for smoking? Or, and then, oh, just some guy.
You know, Virginia Slims, many, many years ago, had an ad campaign all about this subject of women not being allowed to smoke
in public. I think that campaign's still raging on.
Is it?
I think so.
Okay.
You've come a long way, baby.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, I guess they haven't come a long way here.
No, yeah.
They've come a short way.
Yeah, it's still quite dangerous. But even Western women smoking can engender the anger of the Ajushi.
Bizarre.
Wow.
Bizarre.
I just think Western women care less what the Ajushis think, you know?
Right, yeah.
Which doesn't please the Ajushi.
Right.
Yeah,
it's a vicious cycle.
Right.
And the Western women care even less.
Right.
But the Western women will throw punches back, so that's what they have to
exactly.
be.
Exactly. And sometimes they're twice as tall, so you gotta watch out.
One time my friend Rose had one of her male neighbors kind of slipping notes under her door and you know, kind of like, oh, the wife is away, come over and have sex with me. And naturally, my friend Rose was quite freaked out by this. So one day, he's kind of just slipping the note under the door, and she grabs a knife from her kitchen drawer, throws the door open, and my friend Rose is quite a big, solid woman. She used to be a bouncer back in Portland. So she throws the door open mm-hmm. and like just confronts the guy with a knife.
Right.
So if you can imagine, you know, sort of a big enraged white woman with long curly hair and a knife just, you know, shouting at him. And she knows Korean too. So using some, you know, choice Korean terms. I just don't think there's anything in a guy's upbringing here to prepare himself.
No.
How do I handle that? So yeah, he turned tail.
Good idea. I hope he stayed that direction. Turned.
Definitely.
Yeah, much longer story there. Hopefully, okay. Rose will come back to Korea one time, and I can have her tell the whole tale. It's a really, really interesting story. Yeah. No barbecuing. No one has barbecues here. Backyard barbecues.
Oh.
We have a backyard. We tried to a couple times, but
really,
but it always rained every day in the summer. We wanted to have a barbecue.
Nice.
But actually, a couple of Englishy things. Coffee. A couple strange coffee things I noticed. There's this latte, milk chocolate latte. You've probably seen it like the convenience stores. It's about Chunwon. It's like a little kind of plastic cup of, you know, of latte. And it's really good. But then if you look at kind of the logo, it has this thing on the bottom that says Scent of Love Coffee.
Scent of Love.
Scent of coffee. Love. I don't know. It's just kind of some Scent of Love. But
mm-hmm. Not something I look for in my coffee quite generally.
Yeah. And then there's a coffee place next to me. Called Yesterday's Coffee. Just like
that's awesome.
Yeah, and I want to write
them. I hope it's cheap.
Yeah, I want to write them a slogan like "There is no finer coffee than Yesterday's Coffee." I don't know.
Someone didn't take a marketing class somewhere.
No, I don't know. Yeah,
Yesterday's. I'm still trying to convince the 7-Eleven on the grounds of the village where I work to brew coffee in the morning. In time so that on my way into work, I can actually get a cup of coffee that they have brewed.
Okay.
But they don't generally do that until 9 or 10, I guess.
So they brew it on demand?
No.
Or they just brew it at like 7 a.m. and then leave it there for 2 hours?
Even that would be better than there just being an empty pot.
I hope when you go back to Canada, you bring some coffee back because it's expensive here.
I'm debating what to bring back from Canada, coffee. But I drink so much coffee, it would just not last me very long.
Right.
You know, unless I brought a whole suitcase full of coffee back, but I don't know. The customs might be going through that looking for marijuana.
Right.
You know, kind of like, you thought this would, you know, fool our drug sniffing dog. No, really, man, there's actual coffee.
It's just coffee.
Yeah.
You're Canadian.
Open up every bean to see if there's something hidden in the center, right?
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, then you could all have coffee together afterwards. Cops could apologize. And
it would be sort of a meeting of the cultures, sort of love story kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scent of love.
with yesterday's coffee.
Yeah.
This week's teaching opportunity.
All right. Sometimes you hear about, like, blacklists, schools that have been blacklisted. And, John, have you ever seen these blacklists?
I have seen of them. I've never actually read them because I didn't see them before I started looking.
Okay. Pam, did you ever encounter a blacklist?
Sort of like an underground oral blacklist among a lot of the younger teachers I've met out at Friday and Saturday nights.
Yeah, you know, kind of blacklist being schools that you should not take a job with. Apparently the Hagwon owners, too, have their own blacklists of people they should not be hiring. I don't know. But it could all be just be so much legend. But, I mean, you can Google on it, like, you know, Korea blacklist. You'll find various attempts. But I wouldn't place too much credence in those blacklists. Mostly because...
always someone's subjective experience.
Exactly.
And before I came here, I read something about my school online that I ended up finding out was just untrue. Somebody had a chip on their shoulder and needed to spew on the internet, and it was all lies. And I think, you know, if you can tell, like, they can't spell or have very, like, elementary school grammar skills, I wouldn't pay much attention to it.
No surprise there. Yeah, they weren't quite successful in their career as a teacher. Yeah, that's the problem with the blacklist, is because you're getting the one side of the story, and it's like, I'm never the problem, you know.
Right.
They're just a bunch of, you know... Yeah, but the one school you should avoid, and I just hear nightmares about this all the time, is the Berlitz chain, which is strange because they seem to have such a, like, if you think like foreign language,
right.
Berlitz comes right to mind.
Right.
It's like the McDonald's of...
I've had Berlitz tapes and books and stuff myself.
Yeah, but I apparently... conditions in the Berlitz, Korea got so bad that the teachers actually unionized.
Wow.
Yeah. If you think about, I mean, trying to get three, well, I guess we are three ESL teachers, but trying to get them, sometimes getting three ESL teachers in a room together to agree on one thing is an impossible task because we're all quite... we're pretty individual, and we like to go our own way. It's, you know, the
we're all odd in our own way.
Exactly. The herding cats and sort of analogy, you know. And so I think sometimes conditions have to be really, really bad for, you know, getting 20 foreigners together and actually agreeing, okay, we will spend part of our salary every month and pay union dues and just to improve our own working conditions, even though it's only going to be for the balance of the year.
Right.
Wow. Yeah. But the one problem with Berlitz is, regardless of what the hearsay is, you know, what freaks me out about Berlitz is, one, their pay rate is crappy, and two, you don't actually get a free apartment. So what they do is they kind of put you in like a dorm for the first 3 months, and then they help you find your own apartment for the last, you know, 9 months, which seems kind of bizarre. It's like
on less pay than what most people usually get anyway.
Well, they do give you like an apartment allowance, like $300 a month. Which
do they pay the deposit?
They pay the deposit, but. You know, $300, I don't know.
Yeah, it's not very much.
Yeah, so you
not in Seoul.
Yeah, you may get kind of a crappy place, but it just kind of, you know, you move once, you move to Korea, and then you're in a place for a few months, and then you got to move again.
I know.
You know, and then it's only like 9 months later, then you're moving home. So that's kind of jive. I don't know. And then there's like, you know, they're really bad with the split shifts, you know, working in the morning, working late at night, so... Yeah, I would just say, no matter how good the name sounds, really, really, really do your research if you're going to consider a job with Berlitz.
I'm actually not surprised. A friend of mine has a job with another one that's a big chain. I can't remember the name of it right now, but she said, don't ever work for it.
Yeah, the big chains you do have to worry about. well, not worry, but you have to watch, because like there's like a seniority system. If you've been there for a few years, then you'll get the choice schedules and stuff like that. But if you're just sort of new and you're fresh, they will, you know, they'll give you the split shifts and you have to work Saturdays. And, yeah. So some,
which, you know, that's kind of standard in a lot of places in the world. The seniority counts.
Well, yeah, for sure. For sure, yeah. So I don't know. So the big schools versus small schools. Pam, your school's kind of big.
It's on the larger side for sure. There's okay. about 20 foreign teachers, maybe 15.
Okay.
Never counted, I'm sorry.
Wow. My sort of analysis of, you know, big versus small schools. The big schools are good because they've had foreign teachers before, and they're used to dealing with foreign teachers and visa issues, those kinds of things. There's a process.
Right.
Small schools sometimes are a little bit more clueless in terms of, you know, oh, you need this? Really?
Yeah.
Those kind of things. So that's the sort of the danger of the small schools. But what about, Pam, the curriculum at your school? Is it?
We have set curriculum.
Okay.
Which is nice. Some of it is good curriculum and some of it isn't. There are some classes I have where we do have a book, but it provides such little material that I really do have to go out of my way to make extra things for the kids to do every day.
Wow, okay, yeah. So yeah, so the big schools versus the small schools. A lot of times the big schools will have a very, very set curriculum, which is good if you don't like a lot of flexibility, you know, I mean, you can maybe kind of teach on autopilot, but it's sort of bad if you kind of want to play with the curriculum or have a bit more flexibility, or, you know, the textbook they give you just really, really sucks, and or it's too advanced for the kids, and, you know, you kind of want to have some flexibility, but, you know, but your boss is like, no, you know, you must follow exactly this.
There's also usually a big difference at Hogwarts between what the teachers think works as far as teaching children and what the parents want to see their children getting. So
that's true, too. Or the parents have a very inflated idea of what their kid is capable of.
Totally. First graders with piles of homework, they want to see their tiny children writing papers and things like that.
Oh, God.
That, you know?
Essays?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What's the John curriculum at your school? What's it's fairly set?
It's fairly set, yeah. There's a lesson plan for every class, every situation class.
Wow, really? Okay.
We've got about, like, I think there are like 35 different classroom situation settings.
Okay.
And yeah, it's pretty standard.
Mine is just kind of like, you know, well, whatever textbook I want to use, I just tell them and they buy the textbook, and there's no set curriculum. Sometimes I do have fun things to do with the kids. One time we had cookie making day where I made a bunch of cookie dough, and then I brought in my toaster oven, and then I brought in like little M&Ms and raisins and sprinkles and stuff. And so I gave them all cookie dough, and I said, okay, think of a noun and make your cookie in the shape of that noun. So, and then we'll bake the cookies, and then we have to guess what your cookie is. You know, so they make a car, have to guess what their cookie is. So I thought that was a good idea.
Might steal it.
Yeah. Well, you have to be careful because I guess, you know, kids, they don't sit with their grandma and make cookies like we maybe used to sit. So when you give kids cookie dough, they, to them, it's more like modeling clay.
Right.
Yeah. So they're trying to construct three-dimensional cookies, cars, you know,
that's
airplanes.
Not gonna work too
yeah,
well.
Exactly. So you're like, okay, no.
Can you get cookie cutters
here? These are two-dimensional flat things, right?
Yeah, you gotta, a 3D car is not gonna bake. Well, it's gonna bake, but, well, it's gonna burn. And then before the
it'll
inside
be really
bakes.
Gooey on the inside. Sometimes that's what you want.
You can get cookie cutters here. Like, you go to, like, E-Mart or, well, Carrefour is no more, but, yeah, you can get the cookie cutters. Yeah.
Home ever.
Carrefour is now home ever. Yes. So, but the kids liked it anyways, because they got to put their little chocolate chips and M&Ms and stuff on their cookies, and, yeah. And, you know, they for 2 years after, they begged me, teacher, let's do that again. Oh, man, that was a lot of work, but, yeah.
For a handful of nouns.
Yeah, but, you know, a little bit of my own variety.
They're the funnest nouns ever, though.
Right. Tasty. You
know? Yeah.
Tasty nouns.
A delicious noun is better than a tasteless
right.
noun.
Right, right, right.
But John, your school, your...
The village.
Yeah, but you get to sort of role play more. Like you're Fireman Bill right now.
I'm still a Fireman John teacher.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I get to be a fireman. It's really fun. I've been a fireman. I've been an art teacher who doesn't know anything about art. I know things about art, but I am non-artistic.
Oh,
I've been a policeman. I've been a physician. I've been all kinds of things.
But your little fire school,
It's fun. You get to put out fires. And
it's virtual reality or something.
Right. It's an interactive sort of big screen with four little fire extinguisher stations. And of course, we do an actual lesson before we get to the fun part. We have the process of what do you do when you see a fire. You know, scream fire and call 911. And
119.
But we're pretending we're in America.
Okay.
Right.
We take them through that. What is it here? Okay, and now does anybody know what it is in America? Very good. Because everyone somehow knows.
Okay, all right.
So we go through that, and then we set them up in front of the big screen fire. We press the little button that turns either the sofa or the stove or the curtains on fire. And if the kids do their... hosing procedures correctly, it puts out the fire.
That's amazing.
Wow. It's quite fun, and they love it. And
of course, yeah.
Sounds really fun.
It is cool.
Queen kids do the darndest things.
Queen kids do the darndest things. John, a couple weeks ago, you were mentioning to me that your kids, because your kids stay there.
Right, they right. sleep over.
Yeah.
And of course, they're out of the supervision of mom and dad, who presumably make them shower every day or so.
Okay.
But parents aren't at the village.
Okay. So your kids get a little ripe by the end of their...
By Thursday, Friday, they're getting a little whiffy.
Wow.
Yeah.
But is it really bad, or...?
Well, you know, the ages range from 8, 9, through 13, 14. So the 8, 9-year-olds, not so bad. The 13, 14-year-olds, pretty bad.
All right.
Pretty bad. I had one a couple of weeks ago that... I ID'd as a bedwetter.
Oh no.
Yeah, just...
Wow.
And they also I can pretty much identify the kids all week. You know, you've got 400 kids there. It's hard to keep track of every face. And clothes help, because they rarely change their clothes. They pretty much wear the same clothes. They bring a whole suitcase full of clothes, but they get attached to one set.
Okay.
Except every once in a while, you know, a couple of particular kids that I interact with, and by Thursday they'll change, and it's like, wait, is that him? He's not wearing that blue sweater anymore. I don't know. Yeah, so they trick me.
It's strange. Koreans kind of have a reputation worldwide as not being able to take care of themselves away from their mother.
Yeah, well, I'm here to tell you. It's well deserved.
At least
at this age.
Yeah.
I did notice even my school, my kids, they wear the same clothes pretty much for the week.
Okay.
I mean, unless they have like a Monday, Wednesday, Friday outfit, you know, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday outfit. But, you know, if I get them on Tuesday, Thursday, the clothes they were wearing on Tuesday, they're wearing on Thursday.
Okay.
So, yeah. So I tend to keep the same clothes for the whole week. But, you know, I'm kind of doing I don't do it anymore, but when I first started, I was really paranoid about not wearing the same thing, getting to weird little habits of wearing the same thing, like these pants on Monday and these pants on Tuesday. Because we always had the teacher in high school who always wore like the same suit, you know, on Monday and the same suit on Tuesday. And you kind of notice that about him, and make little jokes behind his back.
Right.
You can totally get away with it if it's just like a black shirt or something like that. But if you have some funky plaid pink and purple bow tie that everyone notices and you wear every day, this is my tip to all the teachers out there. So if you're going to repeat plain.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Be dull.
Exactly.
That was my initial paranoia, just about altering my clothing so my kids wouldn't make fun of me. But then eventually I noticed, oh, they wear the same clothes through the whole week.
But yeah. I got into it. Right?
Eventually I noticed that my kids are going to make fun of me no matter what preventative measures I take.
Right. Right.
Any jokes they've made of you this week?
This week? Oh. Give me a minute. You go
I've
first.
I've been called grandfather teacher several times.
All right,
recently.
You have gray hair.
I have some gray hair going on. So
once I walked in with a long skirt to try to keep warm, and they said, oh, teacher, Ajushi style, Ajuma style.
I had one little girl, you know, about 12 years old, and I think this is true in the West, that there's always one point in every girl's life when she gets like a, you know, an old lady haircut, kind of like a short, curly, I don't know. Yeah, this girl had this really, really awful haircut. It was like, and all the kids were making fun of her, like, Ajuma, Ajuma, which means kind of married lady. Yeah, I don't know. I just had to sort of like, that's a very nice haircut. Because, you know, because if you said that to your girlfriend, right? It's a very nice haircut. She would see right through you. But, you know, I'm pretty sure that the kids can't pick up on the subtlety.
Good. Yeah. Or saving grace sometimes.
But, was it real? Anybody have a real hellion, Pam?
You totally. His name's Dicky, too.
Dicky?
Yeah. His English name is Dicky.
Did you
give
him that
give
name?
It to him.
No.
Wow. So what hellacious things does he do?
Well, first of all, he's one in a set of identical twins, and his brother's no good either, but he's sort of the outstanding one, and he can't speak a single syllable without shouting at the top of his lungs.
Okay.
Yeah, he's always under the table, always throwing stuff across the room, always speaking Korean, always like hitting his brother, doing something like that, running in the halls, throwing, you know, the water paper cups, film with water, throwing them at people during break. he's kind of the joke at my school.
Wow, John. Now your kids circulate,
right? I mean, I get a new set every week, but
any really stand out?
This week I had a child named Harry.
Harry
who was and the teachers. We kind of followed him through the week because he was a problem all week. So there was one of the girls in the group, in his team, was a little heavy set, and he spent the entire week mercilessly tormenting her about it and calling her a pig. And
oh, no.
So we, by the end of the week, well, he had a lot of red signs by the end of the week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sometimes when, you know, a teacher will mention a student's name, this student, you know, David's student, and I have to kind of think of the student. And then sometimes I have to sort of shout the student's name. David, stop! Oh, I know who that student is. I kind of have to do that. And then suddenly his picture comes. But, you know, after like 3 years of teaching, I've come to the point where pretty much every... Because we give the kids English names. Pretty much every Western name has at least one hellion kid associated, so you know, David, John, Peter, whatever. And I'm just thinking, if I have my own kids, I'm totally screwed for naming them.
Oh yeah.
Because no matter what I call them, there's going to be some little alien kid in my Korean teaching days that just. So
give them Korean names.
I was thinking numbers. I'm going to issue my children numbers. You know, 1382B. What are you doing? And then it's, that's my only hope, I think.
Yeah. 1382 for short.
What one term the kids are using these days is for bad kids. They call them Joe Poke. Joe Poke.
Joe Poke?
Joe Poke, yeah. Try it sometime, actually, on one of your kids. Call him a Joe Poke.
Is it like a cool bad kid or a
no,
bad
I think
bad
like
kid?
A bad, bad kid. Okay. Well, well, Joe maybe comes from like the Korean word for be careful, Joe Shim, Joe Shim. And Poke is the Korean word for explosion, so or Poktang. So I think Joe Poke, careful, could explode. I don't know. But I think it also means gangster. The Korean word for gangster is Joe Poke. So the bad kid in class is the gangster kid.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, I don't know. So, sometimes they'll refer to a kid as a Joe, you know, are you a Joe Poke? And then they like, oh. I don't know. It's like calling him crazy. You ever good. Call your kids crazy?
Occasionally. When I can get away with it, when I can really know that the kid's not going to get upset, because I did this a couple of weeks ago, and rendered the boy in tears for the rest of the class.
Just calling him crazy?
Yeah.
I've heard stories like that, but I use crazy every day, and it's still always funny. I almost keep doing it to see if they'll ever stop laughing.
Yeah, most of them laugh. They laugh hysterically when any
yeah.
crazy, oh, you're crazy, oh, I am crazy teacher. And they love the
they
word crazy.
They love it. They think it's so funny.
Ask, are you crazy? And do the little mixed scrambled brain sign on my head, and oh, teacher, no, teacher, no, teacher, you are crazy. You are crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, Korean word for crazy is me chin. So I like to point to my chin.
me chin.
You know, bad English. Me chin, yeah. Me chin, you are me chin. Yeah, they like that. So they now they do that to each other with the little pointing to their chins to call each other crazy, sound like. My theory on that is it's like, I don't know, to me maybe it's like gallows humor or something, you know, because they knew the kid that went crazy, you know, jumped out of his apartment building, and it's like, you know, but by the grace of God, there go I kind of thing, you know, I could snap any day with all this pressure and studying, and I don't know.
Is part of it that, you know, in English, my impression is that, you know, we contextually we mean different things when we say crazy. I mean, there is the crazy, the clinically crazy,
right?
Type, but you know, oh, don't be crazy. You know, like what a crazy idea.
Yeah.
Does
I mean,
that variety of meanings exist with the word michin in Korea or not?
I don't know. What do you think, Pat?
It just seems like the history of American slang is taking a word that meant something really bad or just downright the most offensive
right.
thing ever, and then just using it so commonly that it takes on these other contexts. You can see it with all kinds of words
oh,
in
sure.
English.
Oh, sure.
I don't know if that process even happens here.
Yeah, it's a good point. I don't know. What is it, the color, the Wang Da? Sort of the outsider kid or like the nerd kid. Pam, do you have any like nerd kids?
Well, I feel like all my middle school age boys are nerd kids.
Oh, yeah,
I feel like
okay.
they have the social skills of lab rats.
But you know, not like putting them in a California high school, you know.
Oh, but it's so hard not to. They have no social skills.
Okay, right. But you know, when they actually, you know, ostracize within their own group one of the
uh-huh.
kids.
Oh, yeah. There totally is. Little Owen in my little elementary school class, they've all picked on him for some
oh,
reason.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Oh, I find what you do, because there's two kinds of Wangdas, two kinds of nerd kids. There's like, there's the bad kids that mm-hmm. are the nerd kids, and, you know, I've got no sympathy. I'm like,
right.
I don't have time to teach you proper manners. But there's also the really good kids that are, for some reason, you know, they're a little sickly or something, and they're nerd kids. And those I feel bad about. And what I try to do is just in class get some sort of shtick with that kid, like a joke between you and that kid.
Mm-hmm.
And, like there was one girl, Jessica, in one of my classes, and she was kind of like little sickly girl. And of course, you know, the boys immediately all start calling her horrible names like Squid Face and stuff like that. And so I find out she takes drumming lessons. And I'm like, you know, and I always make a big thing about that. Oh, that's so cool, Jessica. You know, you're a drummer. And I'm always like, you should form a punk band, an all-girl punk band, you know.
One day she's going to be so much cooler than those boys who made
right.
fun of her.
Oh, yeah, totally. So I don't know. So, yeah, so that's kind of something how you can kind of, the nerd kid, kind of rehabilitate him or her. Just you know, if you see them in the halls, hey, John, how are you doing? You know, that kind of thing. Just a little bit of extra attention and stuff like that. And eventually, a lot of the other kids will begin to go, oh, well, why does teacher have a shtick with that kid and not with me?
What about me?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true, too. They will sometimes be upset if one kid gets something and they don't
get
it. Oh,
my God. Are they sticklers for, hey, but he did. I got 2 stamps. Why did she get 3 stamps? Yeah. I only got 2. Well, but because I like her more.
But do you ever get, does it ever backlash into a teacher's pet kind of situation?
Not that I've noticed. Uh-huh. I don't know, because the kids are so academically focused sometimes that, you know, teacher's pet is maybe a good thing, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, because that's the, you know, that's the way you get through academia, you know, being the teacher's pet. And, you know.
Yeah, and of course I don't have mine for long enough to get pets.
Right, right. Yeah. That's true. Well, what sort of hurts me sometimes is, yeah, have you had, like, a kid where you, like, you know, you really like the student and you think you're just bending over backwards for that student, you know, and then they leave, they quit the school.
Yeah, that's happened to me before.
Yeah, I'm always like, was it me? Was I a bad teacher? I always feel bad, you know.
There was once one girl in a class of all boys. She was the only girl. She could keep up, and like they teased her, she totally rolled with it.
Okay.
She would tease them back, and. You know, I thought she was such an Amazon. I was really proud of her, and then I don't know if she couldn't take it anymore, but near the very end she quit. It really made me sad. Yeah.
Alright, so that's our show for this week, Podcast 11. I think we're going to do one more podcast, and then it'll be December, so I'll be away for a couple weeks, come back. Maybe we'll try and squeeze in one podcast for the balance of December. So, but yeah, don't expect too many podcasts until the new year, the next few weeks. So, thank you, John, for coming.
It was lovely to be here. Lovely to meet you, Pam.
Yeah, great to meet you.
Yeah, oh yeah. Isn't he cool?
Yeah, totally.
Isn't this the greatest cardigan in the world?
Stop
it's
it.
It's a pretty neat sweater.
For 5,000 won, you bet it is.
Ah.
Got it at Dong Demon. Anyway.
Yeah. But have you noticed, Pam, some of the clothes are pretty good deals on the clothes here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, what was it? I mean, like the designer clothes and stuff like that, you know, like Ralph Lauren or whatever. That's expensive.
The real ones.
Yeah.
I'm not a logo person anyway.
Yeah. But if you go to like the Dongdaemun or, you know, that sort of the little underground malls and stuff like that, yeah, the clothes can be pretty cheap. All right. Okay. So you can email your questions to gokorea@gmail.com. And again, check us out on the internet at www.gokorea.info. And I wanted to give a shout out. It's our first shout out. Do they still say that, Penny? California, in America?
I think so.
Okay. Is that still cool?
I don't know that it's still cool, but I don't think it has yet become uncool.
I'm 24. I'm too old to be cool in California.
Well, we did hire you to be the cool person.
Youth and coolness.
Yeah. Do they still say bee's knees? Like, if something's really cool, that's the bee's knees.
No, that went out in the 1930s.
Yeah, they still call people whippersnappers. Okay. And, yeah. They call you a doll if you look pretty.
Really? Okay. Do they wear zoot suits still in zoot suits?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm ready.
Razzmatazz.
Shout out to Marcus. Marcus emails us a lot.
Oh, cool.
Well, emails the show. And,
hi, Marcus.
Hi.
Yeah, so Marcus. Marcus actually, he listens to the soundtrack and in Starbucks, like our podcast. He can hear the soundtrack and he actually commented on one of the songs. He's like, wow, where did that obscure song come from? You know, I never thought that song would ever be playing in Korea. Have you noticed this, John? Sometimes weird music just popping up someplace?
I was a little pleasantly surprised at the music in here today. It was, especially when we first got here. I'm not even sure who she was, but she was a lovely jazz vocalist singing some great old songs.
Who are you, Pat?
Well, Yeah, you know, some places I've gone to have been surprised at how well-versed they are in American roots music, especially like blues and kind of old-timey bluegrass stuff.
What about, they've gone to Norebang, like singing rooms, and,
Oh, yeah.
You know, and like the English songs, and there's just some song on there, you're like, where did that song come from, you know, like...
How did they find it?
Yeah. Well, I was like one time, I was at one Norebang, and it was like 99 Luftballons. but not the, what was her name? Not the German woman.
I'm drawing a blank, but yeah.
But there was it was like a cover version by like a 90s band. I'm just like, jeez. Like, that's obscure. Also, yeah. All right, so... Thank you for the emails, Marcus, and keep listening. That was my shout-out. All right, so...
See you next week.
Yeah, bye-bye.